I live through blackouts, sometimes for days. And then, especially when blackouts happen, it's at night. Imagine all the food that is going waste that is in the fridge. Let's talk about the society, the hospitals, the education systems. Everything collapses. And I have seen this. I've seen this through my eyes. And I've lived it. So that really gives me this drive and the passion of building something that really means something.
Welcome. We're live at Tech Arena Bright at Berns in Stockholm, where the Nordic regions and the Swedish leading startup and growth companies will be crowned. Tech Arena has gathered entrepreneurs, executives, ministers, experts to discuss the future where technologies meet sustainability, growth, collaborations, connected people, collaborations between small and big companies, and much more. My name is Mats Björk.
And my name is Andreas Kjellander, and I would like to welcome Sakina Turab Ali to our show.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Oh, it's so nice to have you here. And you have just been on stage pitching to the jury.
Yes.
Did it go well?
It went well, of course. I was nervous in the beginning, but I think I got the hang of it. I mean, you're always nervous when you step onto the stage. But
I saw you on the TV. It looked so great. So
Thank you.
I'm pretty sure it will go well.
Did you get any reactions from questions and stuff like that from the jury?
Yeah, a lot of questions, of course, because we are so new to this industry, drones, AI, everything is so new. So obviously they had some questions they really wanted answered.
I think we should really start there. You're taking AI to the skies. Can you tell us and our listeners what are you doing and how does it work?
Yeah, so we are building an AI system to detect defects in the power line automatically. So for example, it could be a broken insulator, a tree on the wire,
right,
or even a damaged wooden beam on the power line. So that is actually detected. We are working on detecting that via AI and machine learning.
So when we did some research before you entered the podcast stage here, we actually went to your website,
right,
and it was instant the sensation of what you're doing, because you're showing a photo, a video film that you're that the detection stuff
yes,
is going. So it's kind of intuitive as soon as if you look at that movie, I guess.
Yes.
Power lines, there were some bird cages that you could detect
and
and that's the business, detecting that and...
Yes, yeah. I mean, we detect a lot of things, but we have, of course, a long way to go. We are 2.5 years, we have bigger visions and we have just started. We want to build the best AI system for power line inspections, actually. Mm.
Because the first thought in my head was actually a trigger word in some management rooms: predictive maintenance.
Right.
So have you tried that trigger word in the management room, saying predictive maintenance, and see what happens?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, we haven't really worked on the predictive maintenance part yet.
Yeah.
Because for us to be working on that, that's of course a part of our vision and our dream, that at one time we could even do that.
Yes.
But right now we just have no predictive maintenance. I mean, we just automatically detect the current
it's actually real-time feedback on more of a real-time feedback at this point.
No, it's not a real-time feedback. So what we do is when the drone lands, after inspecting the power lines, we obviously take the SIM card out and put all the images into our system. And then we run the AI models on that to automatically detect the defects.
Cool.
Oh, it's really cool. And I'm really interested in your own journey here, because you've been a marketing manager at Truecaller.
Yes.
Navigating, just the numbers are fascinating, navigating from like 30,000 to 100 million
yes.
customers. And that might be a good experience, I think, in this new venture.
Yes, it was. And I would obviously not take all the credit on my own. I worked with an amazing and a marvelous team.
Yes.
So we all did that together. And I mean, it was so much learnings. You know, Truecaller was also a startup when I joined. So I took all of that to build Skycraft. I mean, I always had the entrepreneurial passion to build a company. I couldn't do that in Sri Lanka. It's almost impossible, especially because I'm a woman. Mm. And then when I came here, I mean, it's not, I cannot start a company immediately. So I joined Truecaller, of course, because I knew they were a startup and they could help me learn and learn so much that I could actually implement some of those things on in my own startup.
A great story. Your background, Sri Lanka, when did you get to Sweden?
So I moved here about 9 years ago for love, of course. And then, that's when I had to start from square one. Mm-hmm. For me, the language was different. Yeah. How you dress was different. Yes. Yeah. The culture, the weather, everything was different. So for me, it's like I was reborn.
Yeah.
So I had to learn the Swedish language again, and it was a lot of information to digest and to kind of come over those challenges. But I guess when you accept something and you know these things are coming your way, it's easy to kind of tackle them.
Yes.
And it'll eventually roll off your back. So that's what I did. I had just been strong.
If you are going to try to explain Sweden as a market, Sweden as a test market to test new IDs, and in your case, literally to try your wings with the drones, what are your thoughts here on the Swedish conditions and the startup climate in Sweden?
I think this is probably one of the best countries I would be in. I mean, not that I have really, you know, had started companies, but the support that I've got in Sweden is amazing.
Yeah,
I think Sweden is known for, you know, a country to actually build startups because there's so much innovation going on. And there's so much support from the government, support from other startups and the networks. I mean, the thing is, startups is a community. So we help each other, you know. Yes. It's like the snowball effect. Mm-hmm. So you know, if you're a startup, you will know a lot of people in the startup world. And if you want contacts, you know, they will help you, they will reach out to their network. So it's very beautiful where how we all work together to build something that we dream of. And I think that's the most important. And I'm into growth and sales. So people is my core and network is my core. I build everything around my network. I mean, I ask for help. I mean, things become so much easier, right? And I come from Sri Lanka and we didn't have this in Sri Lanka. So it's a big thing to have this network around me to build what I want to with my co-founders, of course.
We actually, a quick reaction, we actually talked a bit about this with Umid Klasi, founder of Tech Arena and Tech Arena Challenge, that might be something that we're trying to like extract knowledge from being Tech Arena for 8 years and what has happened, what's the patterns. And that was one, that the ecosystem around the startup and around the entrepreneur has evolved a lot. So that is one of the big values that we could see being here in Stockholm or Sweden. And I think I'm taking in that's what you're talking about as well.
Yes,
the people surrounding the platform.
Yes. Mm,
cool.
So starting from Sweden, looking out into the world with this this new venture, I noticed that you have been, actually I read that you've been courted by some early clients, including the three largest utility companies here in Sweden. So that's obviously really interesting start. Can you tell us a little bit about the market that you see for this your services?
Yeah, so we see that the power line inspection market is today about $25 billion. So it's huge. Mm. And this is something that hasn't been tackled forever.
No. Yeah.
And I think we started off in Sweden because we think Sweden is a great concept store. I mean, Sweden is not our largest market. US is our largest market with 33%. So what we wanted to do is, this is a great test market. So we obviously work with a lot of big clients.
Yes.
We started off working with the small utility, private utilities, which has about 300, 400 kilometers of power lines. And so they actually were involved in the feedback loop to build our AI system. So they taught us what they want.
Right.
Because ultimately our ambition was not to build something we want to sell, but we built something that our customers would love to buy and pay
right.
for, right? What they actually want. So that's why we, even today, we work very, very closely with the private utilities who really, give us all the feedback we need to
yes.
build the best AI system we dreamt of.
Oh, that's cool. The right way to do it.
I would like to make this podcast episode into actually a business development workshop and try to do it. So are there other verticals? Are you looking at other verticals? Could you, I mean, the technology and the skill set and how you operate could clearly be used in other fields. What's your thoughts on that?
Great question. I mean, obviously, we don't want to just focus on power line
yeah.
inspections. After a couple of years, we want to move into other verticals like railways, highways, mm. telecom operators, but it needs to be long infrastructure inspections,
yeah.
yes.
right?
Mm.
Not like the small infrastructure, like inspecting buildings or something like that. But what we want to do is we want to really stay focused. And I think our vision is to, you know, first focus on one thing and
yeah.
do it really, really well and do it right. And then kind of grow into different verticals. So, I mean, we see that we have a future where we just have to kind of twist our AI models and it'll all work for different types of verticals.
Could you explain for the listeners exactly how the AI works in your system?
Yeah, I'm not a technical person, but I try my best. So what we do is we either partner with a drone operator
yeah.
or we fly ourselves in Sweden currently only.
Mm.
So once the drone flies and takes images of each and every pole and the drone lands, we take those images
mm.
and then upload it to our system, right? And then the AI, we run the AI models, of course,
yeah.
and the backend, and we have several types of AI models. One is for missing rings or insulators. One is for broken wooden arms. So
yeah.
we run all that, and then it detects.
It's like image recognition AI software,
yes.
right?
Yes. Yes. So we use obviously deep learning models mm. and stuff like that. And today we can do 10 images per second. So our AI model is pretty fast.
Yeah. You're just a quick reaction. You're off the technical hook now. I actually joked a bit with you, but you answered perfectly.
Yes, thank you. I'm great that I could answer.
Yeah,
I'm interested in like after we have a storm, like mm. a storm like Dagmar,
oh.
like Swedish name.
Mm.
We had the storm Dagmar. How quick can these drones be up in the air inspecting the lines?
Oh, very quick. I mean, very quick. The thing is, we just need time to get to the site.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
But once it is, I mean, it takes about 2 minutes for them to just kind of take off. So it's pretty quick.
So it's also like a really like a more safe option instead of like sending out this, because the alternative would be like to get up in a helicopter and you don't get like all the details, because I saw the video on your website. It was so cool because you get you have the eyes of the drone and you see all these failures.
So. Yeah, that's what we promote, right? The quality of images are brilliant with drones, and you can see everything from bolts to nuts to cracks on an insulator. So that is not something helicopters can do, right? And also, I mean, you actually put people in the helicopters. Yes. You can risk your life. They could be electrocuted right after a storm.
Yes.
No way. I don't think that's completely, safe for anyone. So drones, I mean, even if it crashes, it will just crash. That's the most that could happen. And you lose a drone, right?
Yeah.
But then you don't lose people and their lives. I mean, for me, that's so important that we can secure our people's life and do something environmentally friendly and, you know, safeguard the people who we work with.
Yeah.
So
wonderful.
Just a quick challenge on the drone image and the resolution and stuff like that. I saw a team at the 80s and I saw this helicopter guy. Mm-hmm. He could fly that close, so he could do it. I know one helicopter guy that could challenge your operations.
That's I mean, we fly very close, actually. I think I would say Skycraft is, I mean, risk takers. We are daredevils, so we go really close.
Yep.
But I think in other countries, when we speak to other drone operators, they don't fly that close, and that could be a challenge because they are scared that they, you know, that obviously there could be some magnetic connection with the drone and power lines, and it could cause actually a blackout on the power line.
But this is a new field, and it's a bit of exploring, I'm guessing, as well. How the operations should work, and if you do this, we put it in Excel and you see the risk reward kind of balance sheet. There's going to be a reward. There's going to be a lot in the reward staple, I guess. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I mean, when we started, I mean, we got a small project with a small power line operator, about 15 kilometers. Mm-hmm. I mean, nothing. Today we fly thousands of kilometers. I mean, we started by crashing drones. So that's how we learned.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not the best beautiful story where we have all the skills in the team. So we just came into the field, you know, put up the drone and everything worked. It really didn't work. And I remember one of the days we were there at 4 in winter in December with cold hands, all three of us trying to get a drone up. But it never worked because drones really didn't work out of the box when we started.
Yeah,
no. Now it has obviously become better. But that was a big challenge. So we don't even really know if we could do anything further or we should just kind of shut down the company.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you learn, right? So we kind of learned, we worked hard, and we built this technology around.
A quick one about raising capital. Your experience, how has it gone? And when is your next round?
Yeah. Raising capital is a full-time job, I can say.
Understand, yes.
It's stressful, and it's a lot of challenges to find the right investor, and an investor that we have chemistry with.
Yes.
Right. So it's not about just taking money. Yeah. It's about taking money that is smart, and where, you know, we could fit as people.
Yes.
I mean, our chemistry needs to work. So it takes a very long time to raise money. And I mean, the thing is, like, you start with your first pitch deck, which is really bad.
Mm.
Then you get a lot of questions from the investors. So we kind of figure out what they're looking for. And, you know, we build answers around that. So at the end of what we raised, we had an amazing pitch deck that investors spoke about. So what we did was, it's a learning journey. You can't just go and make the best pitch deck and win. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. I think we changed our pitch deck about at least 7-8 times.
Yeah.
Right.
And then we adapted to what investors were looking at. And stuff like that.
That's a great share, actually, because it's a theme It's a theme in entrepreneurship, like iterate your way forward.
Correct.
And that means fail quite a lot.
Crash some drones, crash some arguments and get better and just go
ahead. And we lost really good investors, I would say, because we just didn't know how to pitch. Yeah. We had a great idea and a great product, but how would they believe in us? How would they believe in the vision? How would you communicate that? So that is what we sat and thought through. And then obviously, like you said, we iterated and iterated. Mm. Yeah.
Well, it's been a treat talking to you about this journey, and we're looking forward to seeing how it's going to play out in this challenge. We're pitching for some prizes here at Tech Arenan. But before, we wanted to ask you, kind of the theme for this year has been sustainability, has been that quite a few years at Tech Arenan. And we picked up that UN, Andreas, identified entrepreneurship and innovation as a tool, as a method, as a way of solving the climate problem, the climate crisis. And we think that's fantastic that it's finally a tool, recognition, and it also some responsibilities, I guess, as an entrepreneur. That's taking responsibility for the creation of a new world in some sense. So that as a backdrop. What do you think is the secret ingredient in entrepreneurship that makes this method especially good in solving our climate problems?
Yeah, I mean, I think personally you have to believe in that. Yes. So if you really don't think strongly about climate, how to save, you know, the environment, then it's a tough job to really solve these problems. And also the thing is like, you will never build a company on your own, most likely, of course. I mean, you will have co-founders. So you have to obviously sit and talk to them and understand their vision and their view on the climate. What do they think? Yes. I mean, there are a few things you got to not really ask co-founders, but observe, I totally believe. Mm. Like you see, I mean, do you do normal things in life like recycle? Mm. All your plastic and glass bottles, right? How do you talk when you talk about environment? So I think these are the things I learned. I mean, coming from Sri Lanka, electricity is obviously not a luxury.
Yeah.
Like we live in Sweden. I mean, no one really...
We don't really understand.
Yeah. Mm. So for me, I live through blackouts, sometimes for days. And then especially when blackouts happen, it's at night. And you know, there's so much of things like, imagine all the food that is going waste is in the fridge. Mm. But let's keep that aside. But let's talk about the society, the hospitals, the education systems, everything collapses.
Yeah.
And I have seen this. Mm. I've seen this through my eyes and I've lived it. So that really gives me this drive and the passion of building something that really means something, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I would have never started a company if there was, you know, there was no environmental impact.
Yeah.
So this is why I really, really got attracted to this idea. I mean, this was not one of my ideas I came up with, but one of the co-founders really gave this idea when we were exploring. So I was like, wow, this is something I dream of building.
Mm.
I want to solve this problem. Why? Because I have experienced it. And I can understand what an impact it would make for non-developing countries like Sri Lanka, India. So it's about believing what you're building. Otherwise, you can never build. I mean, you can never build something with passion and that grit.
No, it's such a great answer. And
definitely.
Yes. And I think that hearing you share these ideas and telling the story about Skycraft feels like like a natural part of like modern infrastructure to me now.
Yes. Yeah.
And all this impact that you can make, it's really inspiring. So I'm really looking forward following your journey.
Yeah.
So Sakina, so nice to have you as our guest and good luck.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.